Welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by Mobius Strip Press. I am G.R. Mobley. If you go to my site, reclaimingtherepublic.org, you will have access to my content and support documents and links. This is an educational grassroots program leading in restoring the Republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again. And welcome back post-election. Those of you who survived saw an interesting question out on social media asking people, did any drunk public servants give you a call last night looking for a friend? I want to give you a perspective, but it looks like, I guess it looks like Sheriff Knezevich may not be reelected. Anyway, I figured I'd just throw that out there real quick. Obviously, he's winning, and he's going to probably win. But the point is that having seen some comments regarding the election outcome and so forth, I was just kind of appalled with with some of the sheriff's comments. And like I said last week, I really don't have anything to, you know, other than the fact that he just says the wrong things, and he's just he's a sheriff. He's the top cop. He has the full force, lethal force for the county of Spokane. And I do not understand why he has to put a chip on his shoulder every time somebody talks about him. Well, I will just say this as we move forward, knowing that he's going to win. Moving forward, Spokane, Sheriff Knezevich has been very clear that he is going to not run again, that this is his last term, and I'm sure Spokane will hold him to that. And so need not worry. And with that, if there is no pursuit and or avarice towards a future position politically, then he should be able to just let his critics just go run amok and enjoy his life, because he's won his campaign. He can move forward and do his job as the top as the top person in the county that can basically assert and exert lethal force. And so he doesn't have to worry. And we expect him to do that per his constitutional duty and per his job description. So maybe he can take a lesson and lead and actually kind of remove himself from social media and say, you know, look, I think that's the best thing to do so that I can, you know, focus on my job instead of my critics. Because like I said, you're always going to have critics. I have critics. And so I don't sit here and pound them out. I don't mention them by name. And I don't do that. And I think it belittles the person, especially if that person claims to be a leader. It just belittles their position. It marginalizes their leadership. And so with that, because I believe in the high road, right? And so with that, let me just state that this show was also sponsored by ReclaimingTheRepublic.org, as well as 1798Part2.org, as well as RepublicReview.org. This is the only show that provides you the constitutional solution in getting the federal government back into compliance to the Constitution. That's probably important to you. And if you want to know and hear more about those processes and so forth, because we've been so consumed with the local election and these local transitions, you probably want to start tuning into my Red State Talk radio show from 3 to 4 locally. But the greatest news I have for you is I was talking to Red State Talk Radio. I've got to work this out with my wife and family and all my other obligations, but they've asked me to go to a 2-hour show. So I would be running from 3 to 5 locally, but haven't committed to that. We still have to have some, you know, conversations and so forth. But I was asked last night if I would do that. And so with that, I will let you know, I'm still hoping that I might be able to get some backing right here in Spokane to maintain this show. I would love to. And as a matter of fact, I'm going to tell you, and I've told you several times, business folks need to get behind a real conservative voice. I'm actually trying to get other conservative voices to step up. I'd love to see a solid, like KSBN, a solid show from, or not a solid show, a solid format from, you know, sun up to sundown and around the clock. Like most of the shows on KSBN are that way, but they are a money talk radio. And I know that there's probably a lot of people in the market that would love to have a call-in show. I mean, I offered to call in for the first, I think, what was it, about a year, year and a half, and was unable to do that. So with that, I mean, and I get it, there was Fitzsimmons was still on the air and so forth. But that being said, I'm hoping that we might actually have a few offerings, and I believe KSBN will be able to offer you an afternoon drive show that will, you know, let you have the ability to call in and steam, release a little steam and kind of sound off with the hosts. I don't want to talk more about that, but Spokane needs a place to be able to focus and have a relevant focus on what is about Spokane. It seems like some of the radio stations here in, if you want to call it the valley, because there's technically a valley here, but there's also a Spokane Valley. So anyway, this local region, this local area needs to really start flourishing. And I believe the writing's on the wall. I think the tea leaves are forming in the cup, that as more and more conservative voices leave the airway, you're not going to have the finger on the pulse. You're not going to know what's really going on, and getting the news, it's going to become harder and harder. Spokane, if you're going to get united, if you're going to start putting aside your differences and merging without acquisition the different conservative forces, you need to start finding leaders, and you need a central voice in doing that. In talking with some of the politicians, and so congratulations to those who won. That seems overwhelmingly that you won, but I'm going to tell you, we'll get into the election in a macro view in a few, but I've been talking to politicians over the course of the past 2 years, and they, I don't want to say they were shocked. I was shocked when we moved up here, how divided this area is, but I think that they're just appalled by the fact that there are so many different factions of conservatives up here. Shame on you. Can't you find the 95, 98% that you all agree on and start building on that and start basically, because some of those other little things are really not do or die type of issues. Not now, they're not. Right now, it's about winning and taking back the, you know, the county, the city, and so forth. Because right now, you have some pretty good liberals that seem to be getting more entrenched. And as the trend shows, or indications are, they're not going anywhere anytime soon. So with that, this show, if you cannot hear this entire show today, this show will be rebroadcasted tomorrow at 5. It will also be rebroadcasted at 11 a.m. And it will also be rebroadcasted at 9 p.m. And so I would invite you, if your commute doesn't allow you to hear the whole thing, you can always download the podcast from Reclaiming the Republic, or actually it's reclaimingtherepublic.org, and make sure you go to the KSBN podcast page. I get so many different domains now, it's not funny, but anyway, I don't know actually who's going to be speaking this coming week for the Rob Chase's Republican Coffee Club, but I will tell you, he still will be having it. It may be a post-election, you know, meeting to talk about the outcomes and, you know, their hopes and planning for the future. It is every Friday at 7 a.m. at the Something Else Deli at 152 South Sherman. Admission is $5, and that gets you coffee and a pastry. And I think the coffee is refillable, so, you know, all the coffee you can drink. Anyway, I got barely less than 2 minutes left, and now is not the time necessarily to rail on some of the local candidates. So I will wait till I come back and I'll let you anticipate with bated breath on which local candidates I may be, waiting to rail upon, because it's time we actually start addressing the elephant in the room. And I'm not talking necessarily about the GOP elephant, but I am talking about some of the candidates that are representative of the GOP that have been problematic. And as far as I'm concerned, I've been appalled. I've talked to county chairs. I've told them that there needs to be a discussion, and they actually allow the status quo. And so I know that this is a reforming year. Next January, this coming January, is a rebuilding of every single county and their organization. So I'm just putting it out to you, get your butts out there if there are vacant seats that you can get involved and or start petitioning and start demanding from your local county GOP to break the status quo, that we have to start talking about the important things. And that is, one, taking back the brand. What is the brand? It's the Republican Party, and taking control of that brand and guarding it viciously, because we have to stop allowing what we call rhinos and what we call, people, self-serving public servants, to get into office. That's got to end. If we are going to get into a position where this local economy and this local community is firing on all cylinders, those of you who are mechanically inclined, then we have to literally start focusing on getting good Republican leadership. With that, I'm at a hard break, so I will be right back after a word from our sponsor and my promo, so please stay tuned. I'll be right back. Most people resist change, but how would you like to be rewarded in at least two ways for considering a new dentist? Dr. Tracy believes your smile is a reflection upon him, and that is a mutually shared reward between both him and you. Another reward is improving your overall health by working with your dentist like Dr. Tracy and developing a strategy in maintaining your dental health. But how would you like a direct incentive in considering a new dentist? Dr. Tracy and his staff from time to time offer a special referral program. For every new patient you refer who becomes a patient, Dr. Tracy will reward you with $50 off your dental work. Consequently, if you refer five people, that's $250 off your dental work. Give them a call and ask for the details and the availability of the referral program by calling 466-6614 or go to VonTracyDDS.com. Again, that's 466-6614 or sign up at VonTracyDDS.com. If you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract, and with republic review, they can enforce compliance to their constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what is referred to as republic review. Please read my argument for republic review, as well as my description of the republic review model, on reclaimingtherepublic.org. We even have a graphic flowchart that shows you how republic review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you. Okay, so I am back and I have a couple of browsers open. And so let me kind of give you a big picture before I really start railing here. Now, if I look at just the U.S. Senator race, right? There is, and I'm just going to use beer math, so I'm going to just round up. And so there's about 400,000 votes right now that Cantwell is leading Susan Hutchinson. Now, if you look at the voter turnout currently, There's over 500,000 votes that have not even been counted yet based on the closing of the counting polls because, you know, those folks have to go home. Isn't it so much better now that we have... I'm getting a phone call. I'm sorry, that buzzing you hear is my phone. And that's because I called out to Wyoming during the break and then somebody finally got a call back regarding the case or situation in Wyoming. But let me just kind of move on here. If you look at the amount of votes still and the 500,000 votes that they currently have in their possession is still only a small fraction. There are still a lot of votes in the pipeline because the full turnout for the state is only 45%. I believe that's 15% shy from the primary. And I believe that if the vote actually turns out higher for the state of Washington than the primary, then, you know, there's a good 15 to 20% that has still not even been received yet. And so with the total of, let me see here, I think it's almost 2 million votes. And so there's a little over 4 million registered voters. And with the fact that that could be quite a bit, Susan Hutchinson actually may win this race based on the numbers. And if you look at the counties that are outstanding, how many votes are still outstanding in King County? About 100,000, Pierce, let me see, because, you know, let's just go through the bastions, another 100,000. So that's about half of those. But there's still probably a lot of ballots, and Republicans tend to be the last ones to vote, especially in Washington, just due to the fact that we kind of wait for all the damage control to be handled and so forth. And it's not just damn the torpedoes full speed ahead. That's typically how a lot of voters that are on the conservative side typically vote. But the point is that, you know, this election process here in Washington takes a while to get the results. Aren't we so much better off now? This is what I was going to poke this whole concept of our election process in Washington State. The fact that we have to wait so long, we're far better because now that they've got union members that are counting ballots and working and it's all centralized, it works so much more efficient now that we have to wait a week or two to get final results instead of actually getting it the day of the election because we have all of these different precincts of volunteers that are doing it and double checking and signing things off and having a lot greater level of production and fidelity and quality of assurance of the outcome than we do today. That's why I've been railing on this whole concept for over a year regarding our voter turnout and not only just the turnout, but the process. This process sucks. It's steeped with the ability of manipulation and potential corruption and so forth. So with that, I still say it's way too close to call. I know that there are a lot of indications where people are saying, oh yeah, this is done. Well, I don't think so. And as a matter of fact, you know, I'd have to look at the counties of how they voted, but across the board, there's still a lot of votes that are out there. And in the Susan Hutchinson race, like I said, even though we've gotten, you know, the requisite amount of votes there of the 45%, that 15-20% could be a significant amount to change the outcome of this. The real thing that I want to rail on is Susan Hutchinson was she's not my champion of the Constitution, Republic Review, and everything else, but she's a class act, and she was a great opponent for Maria Cantwell. I mean, they couldn't have come at her with the Me Too movement or anything else. So the question that I beg to ask folks is, why is it that she lost so, based on these numbers right now, why is it looking like this? Was it the campaign? Was it the process? What the heck is going on? I mean, Washington is a far redder state than this. And as a matter of fact, when we get into the measures, as I look at the measures across the board, when I look at, let's look at the first one, which would have been a carbon tax on the people of Washington. No, overwhelmingly so far, they're pretty much sound on 15%. No, we do not want to pay a carbon tax. Are you kidding? When it comes down to the repealing of that Senate bill, the second substitute, it's advisory vote number 19. I mean, that was a pretty good repealing as well. I mean, it's not 10%, but still, it seems like Washington is a red. We don't want to be taking, more money out of our pocket for bigger government. Stop spending so much money. That seems to be the overwhelming issue. And so I, based on the outcome as well, because on the firearms issue, there has been a really overwhelming support for firearms in the state of Washington. And in looking at the 20% gap, just almost similar to the Susan Hutchins-Cantwell race, I don't know if we can really rely on these numbers, because there's a lot of really red counties that still have a lot of votes to come in. So I'm not going to just, surrender. Oh, it's all over. We've lost. It's all done. I'm not going to go down that path. We've got to wait to digest. And as we're digesting this and as we go through this, I hope you keep on thinking and reminding yourself that we had a much better system. And why in the heck did we allow ourselves to go down this path? Period. Why is it that we allowed ourselves to go down this path? Now, when I'm looking at Spokane, by the way, and looking at the numbers for how many Spokane votes have not been counted, and that these will be flushed out today. And as a matter of fact, when is it that these things are going to be flushed out? I think it is going to be, they're forecasting today at 6 p.m. these 72,000 votes that are still standing to be counted will be flushed out today. Now, question is, how many of those will literally turn some of these elections? Now, I don't think necessarily 72,000 votes is going to turn the sheriff's election, because I think he's got over 70,000 votes. Anyway, I don't think that that'll change that vote, but I think that some of these other races, like Rob Chase and so forth, might turn around. But let me kind of rail on what has to happen and what needs to happen, because it hasn't happened. And as I was saying, because I'm about 2 minutes from a break again, I have complained to county chairs regarding these representatives that are supposedly wearing the Republican brand. CMR is a good example of that. She is not a good representative of our Republican values for this legislative district. She may be a great Republican for the state of Washington and the establishment, but she is not a great Republican. And I think that the only way she becomes a great Republican is by putting pressure on her. So what has to happen in December is letters have to go out, say, congratulations. Oh, by the way, we realize that you won barely, or you won by a certain percentage, and that, the trend is that your percentage is getting worse and worse, and we're getting concerned, and we want to make sure that you're complying with what our expectations are. And literally start moving down the path of holding political servants to the standards of the party. We've got to stop allowing these servants to do whatever they think they want. They're supposed to be representing us. And it's pretty pathetic when I sit and listen to a representative in a town hall meeting like CMR or anybody else, and they're being asked, hey, what are you doing about this Avista thing? Did you know that we were going to get thrown under the bus, and many of your constituents will have to spend a lot more money on energy because of this deal? Do you care? Do you care that any of your constituents will actually have their power possibly turned off because they can't afford it? This may bankrupt or may financially destroy some folks. Do you care? And the answer is, oh, well, I'm on these different committees in D.C. and I don't know anything about that. Well, who do you represent? Those committees, or do you represent the people here? And that's my point, folks. We need to really start going down these names that won and have failed and actually start identifying good champions so that we can have, by before the next midterm, in other words, before November 19 or 2019, we have names of good, solid, we all agree upon candidates to move forward for both, you know, our state, local, and even federal representation. If we care about our brand and if we care about the direction of our government, we have to take better control and we have to be better stewards over this brand. We have to stop allowing people to move us in the directions that they choose. And so, as you can tell, I'm at a hard break. And when I come back, I'm going to kind of do a little more railing because I think you expect that. And I apologize, but I know it's still early, but now I can actually vent because the election is done and I'm not going to throw the election one way or the other. So we will be right back after word from our sponsors. Thank you so much. Most of my listeners understand the importance in having strategic goals, but do you have a long-term strategy for your dental health? Too many people are only focused on whitening their smile. I understand the appearance of your teeth can give you confidence, but this can risk your future health in only addressing the cosmetics of your teeth, and many dentists will take your money just to do this. They say failing to plan is planning to fail, and if you don't have a long-term strategy for your teeth and dental health, then you need a new dentist. Every dentist provides a dental plan, but Dr. Tracy and his staff develops a strategy to help you maintain and restore your dental health to what it needs to be. To develop a strategy in maintaining your dental health, connect with Dr. Von Tracy, DDS.com. That's VonTracyDDS.com. So you too can develop a strategy in maintaining your dental health. To become a citizen, one must take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. Those of us who are naturally born citizens are obligated and duty-bound to fulfill the same oath even though we're not required to take it because it is implied upon us at birth. This is why I cannot emphasize enough the importance in supporting businesses who are supporting our Constitution. We have to stop supporting businesses that have chosen to hide behind political correctness, and obviously we must stop supporting progressive businesses who are working to undermine our republic and our Constitution. Do not let businesses or organizations convince you that they are supporting the Constitution by supporting protests for social justice. By definition, social justice is the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. In other words, they're calling for socialism, which is incompatible with individual liberty and individual sovereignty and our Constitution. With that, please consider supporting businesses who advertise on this show and this radio station. Okay, so I am back, and we're still waiting for the outcome to come back from the election. But that being said, I want to kind of give you some insights regarding, you know, what I perceive as the record for, you know, CMR and some of the other Republican federal representatives. I do not believe that when they sit on their hands and they don't come back here and champion causes for the Second Amendment and champion causes for the First Amendment and demand compliance to the 14th Amendment, that states shall pass no law that infringes upon our individual privileges and our immunities, that they actually do what they're supposed to do. They're supposed to represent us and use the guns that they have, the political guns and the clout, in coming in and speaking to these issues. There's no doubt in my mind, politicians have avarice. They have intentions and desires of being able to, you know, go to the next level up. Every single one of them has this ladder to climb, right? It is about time that they start becoming champions of liberty. And I mean individual liberty, and I don't mean like Liberty Mutual or whomever might be supporting them. We need to start looking now for good replacements from every single angle at every single level. We have to find replacements who are willing to stand up and preserve our Constitution and our liberties instead of their bottom line in being able to get what they need done to be able to be qualified by the lobbyists and those throwing money at them into attaining the next little ring or the next little step on their ladder. And so with that, I think, again, this really has to come down to the central committees within these areas. So I would think that all the counties in each of these legislative districts for the federal level should have a meeting like February or January timeframe to literally discuss, okay, this is the outcome of what we all chose and how we looked at our representation. And overwhelmingly, the majority of the people don't like this person, don't like this person. They may have won by a slim margin, but we really need to start addressing a replacement. We need to find a champion and a hero, somebody that is going to lead us in the direction we need to go, and somebody that will actually be compliant in meeting our expectations. That, there you go. That's probably the best way to look at this. Now, I will tell you that there is that body of work that has to go done. It has to be done down at the party leadership. But more importantly, as I've been telling you, that this area needs a voice. You need a voice to start poking the eye of the local rags, like the spokesman review, or what I like to talk or refer to as the spokes and tokes review, in the eye. Somebody needs to be really going after them and asking them, why is it that they literally sat on the fact that there was this collusion within the Spokane County office that allowed Leonard Christian to be basically be handed a seat outside of the legal process that was set up for the county? Why is it that Al French and Mary Cooney was unattested? Really, because the Spokes and Tokes Review chose not to run any stories or bring this to light so that you, the voters, would be informed and go, this isn't good. We don't like this kind of government. We want a government that follows the laws and the rules that we've given them, or that we've all kind of agreed on and have set, so that if somebody wants to be appointed to the Board of Equalization, they have an opportunity to apply instead of it being given to the guy that needs political credibility. Are you kidding me? I think that objective journalism is dead in this county, and I believe that everybody should be looking at the Spokes and Tokes Review as literally just that. It is a rag that you can roll to roll your own cigarettes or do whatever you want that's legal, as long as it's legal in this state. But to look at it as an informative piece of journalism and that is objective and trying to give you information, they failed. I mean, they have completely failed, because they're literally grinding the progressive agenda and whatever suits them. I remember reading this article, and I think it was about Matt Shea, regarding that article that, you know, the biblical analysis that he made. Putting all of that aside, I remember reading The Endlander talking about, and The Endlander is an equally bad rag. I mean, why is it that you are even, you know, when they come to you, and let's say you want to get into the public fray, and they come to you and say, hey, we want to interview you. You say, are you kidding me? You have no credentials. You have no credentials or credibility, I should say. That's maybe a better word. You have no credibility in our community. All you do is you grind an agenda and you do everything you possibly can to further socialism and the leftist agenda for this county. Why would I even want to talk to you? Literally, and just turn on your phone so that you record that little video snippet and walk away. So that way, if they want to use that out of context, you can just fry them in social media to say, that is not what we said in the exchange, why I would not interview them or give them an interview. And this is what I said, because they have no credibility with our with our environment, with our milieu, with our constituents, and so forth. All they are doing is trying to literally drive an agenda. They're trying to be divisive. They're not objective journalists. When they want to become objective journalists, we will start knowing that. But in the Inlander, because I digress, in the Inlander, it talked about the person that was supposedly the filter in determining, you know, whether this was a good conservative angle or not a good conservative angle. That, and I forget the person's name. I'd have to go back and read it. But the funny thing was that person was actually working on Lisa Brown's campaign. And this is who the Inland, or I should say, the Spokesman Review was kind of, you know, it was the one guy that, you know, was kind of looking at the conservative view. And I'm going, what? How is this guy looking at the conservative view? He already has biases and blinders. Are you kidding me? Start reading some of these articles and some of the facts will start jumping out at you going, they are so steeped with bias, they love themselves. Narcissus is branded as a flower. And if you understand the context of that and the inference, then you will get the fact that they are just in love with themselves and all they're doing is doing what they believe is best for themselves, like a self-serving politician or a leech or a parasite trying to kill the host. Because the host that I am speaking of, that we need to start protecting, and the brand that will preserve that, is liberty and the Republican Party. The opposite is the Democratic Party, and they're doing everything they can to subjugate us. In other words, take away our liberty, and they're doing a very good job in protecting our brand, are in protecting their brand and getting the media as well to be equally culpable in helping them obscure the truth, obscure the facts, so that they can get away with obscuring these things so you don't know that they're all in collusion. I'll never forget the most revealing article I read was actually wasn't the article, it was the biography of David Rockefeller when he thanked the news media, the mainstream media in 1992, thanking them for helping them move their agenda forward so that they could literally get, you know, to this position of setting up their New World Order. This is in 1992, and he actually referred to it as New World Order. And he goes, yes, we've conspired. Yes, we're working hard, and I want to thank you for doing all of this. This is how emboldened they are at this level. And the problem is that who has time to do all the research and reading all of this? I know most Americans don't. I mean, you've got a family, you've got a job. There's things that you really need to do, and you need to let off steam. What are you going to do when you no longer have a voice? If you're not, if you have a business, if you know other businesses, you need to start finding a coalition of businesses that want to have champions in this community, whether you buy into a radio or buy into a team, and start backing a conservative voice for this county. Because if not, that's what you're going to hear is silence. And I'm telling you, when you start silencing the alternative argument and the opposing ideas, then all of a sudden you just start believing the agenda because what they're telling you is, oh, I guess that must be true. And you have to start questioning some of these other local broadcasting stations that are literally pumping in the national focus, the national focus. Forget about your local area. Focus on Rush Limbaugh. Focus on these national guys because these are big hitters and that's what's more important. I am telling you what you need to be doing is you need to be focusing on taking back Olympia. It is only the states that have the authority to stop what's going on in D.C. Quit putting the blinders on and thinking that, oh, CMR is going to do it this year. Oh, all of these good federal elected servants that we're sending off to D.C., they're going to fix it. Are you kidding me? The only way that that swamp is going to get drained, it won't get drained by Trump and it won't get drained by anybody in D.C. Obama was correct about one thing and he says you cannot fix D.C. from within. He knows that. The only way we can fix D.C. is by having the states apply their constitutional authority and not only demand but force the federal government into compliance. If you've been listening to the show, you understand, or you should be understanding, most of this. I go through the Federalist Papers, the ratification debates. Unfortunately, over the past few months, I've been very focused on this election, trying to help you understand the importance of getting the right people in. Now, I'm praying and hoping that Rob, based on the outcome of the votes that are still yet to be counted and still coming in, I am praying and hoping that Rob actually wins and that we unseat Mary Cooney. I'm actually hoping that the Democrat unseats Al French. We're better off having a person that hasn't proven themselves to be culpable and corrupt that we already know are. If Mary Cooney and Al French retain their seats, there needs to be, and who's going to be demanding that there be an investigation to determine if they have violated the law, and if so, they need to be tried. And if so, then they need to be replaced, and whether that be by the PCOs or what have you, bottom line, we cannot allow corrupt political servants to serve us, because all they're doing is really serving themselves and this agenda. And so, you know, it's ironic, but you reap what you sow, Spokane. And if you want to go down the political, you know, silencing or the political correct path, then you are only letting them win the argument, because bottom line, you're following their narrative because they're dictating what can be said and what can't be said. I know all of this kind of makes sense, and I know that, again, I'm looking at the time and I'm already out of time, and I haven't even really been able to get into some of these more specific things that I wanted to talk about, like Northwest Grassroots Movie Night. I know it's next week. I have no idea what they're doing, and it will be, I think it's Tuesday next week, so I won't even be able to tell you, hey, you're heading in the wrong direction. So if I can find out, I will post it on the Reclaiming the Republic website. But I would recommend that you go to the Northwest Grassroots Facebook page, or just Google Northwest Grassroots. They have a website. I think it's a WordPress website, I believe. And go check it out and find out what, where, and when they are going to be doing their movie night, so that you can start getting informed again and start understanding what we need to be doing before we lose everything. It's just a matter of time. And with this Avista sale going through, if that literally changes the economic disposition of your economics, how much money you have to spend at home, then I'm going to guess that you're probably going to be in that position that you are actually, help me out here, that you're actually in a position to say, you know what, I can't afford to do these types of things. It's a sad day when we literally move down this path of hitting critical mass, where you have to make a choice whether you're going to be able to feed your family or only heat a certain part of the house. You know, you got little kids, or you're all by yourself and you're don't have any family or loved ones close by. This is a very pathetic situation that we're in. And one has to ask themselves, why is it that we are even in this position? If you look at energy and how energy was applied 100 years ago, it was based on, you know, cutting trees, burning coal, or what have you. But everybody had, you know, and it wasn't a high percentage of your income going on energy. It wasn't. It was a very small percentage. Today, go look at your budget. Tell me what and how much money out of your budget are you spending on energy? The average household budget, it's about 1/4 the most expensive cost to half, or, you know, the number two in your most expensive cost. There are some people in some places that their energy consumption exceeds their mortgage. Imagine that. Why are we paying that kind of prices for energy, when we know the productivity, energy Energy is the essential element for productivity. If we are going to be productive, we have to have energy. Just like if you're going to get something done today, you got to have something to eat. Food is an essential part of your day. But did food become the number one or number two or number three in your economic budget? Maybe three or four. It's probably right there close to your energy costs for heating your house and driving your car and all the other things that you need fuel for. But that's because we no longer grow our own. But my point is that why is energy so expensive? And start thinking about this. As you look at energy and the energy distribution system, and you look at communications, cable, and all of the technology that you get across that cable line, you get internet, you get your phone service, you get cable TV, you get pay-per-views, and you even get your own security system all set up from Comcast. And Comcast is your friend, and they're only charging you by a monthly basis of security. They do not charge you for how often you watch TV. Why is that? Why is it that they are not charging you how many megabits? And they do keep track of how much data you bring in, and they have a cap. I believe it's a terabyte. If you bring in over a terabyte of data, then they will hammer you big time. And they will, you know, actually, I think they give you 2 free months, and then all of a sudden, because they consider you a heavy user, and then all of a sudden they start fining you or, you know, charging you extra for, you know, and it's pretty expensive. But my point is why is it that you're paying a set subscription regardless of how much you use your TV, regardless of how much you use your telephone? Why is it that those services have moved into a subscription service and it's become very, very affordable? I remember in the Marine Corps when I was serving and I had to go to Okinawa in the early 80s, or when I was in California, my family was up here. I remember we had to save money to be able to have a phone conversation because it costs so much money. I've seen people in my service in the Marine Corps, because by the time I retired from the Marine Corps, there was still this concept of toll charges for your phone, and you had to pay, you know, through the nose for your phone services. The concept of moving it into subscriptions, unlimited calls, unlimited long distance, I mean, that was the competition that was being driven that forced efficiencies within those technology companies. So the question is, if they're only running power down the line, why is it that they're getting away with charging by the kilowatt instead of making it more competitive? Because it's a self-licking ice cream cone, and there's never been a challenge to the paradigm of how they operate and how they're providing energy. You don't have an ability to literally have 10 lines coming into your phone, right? I mean, into your home. I mean, can you imagine having 4 or 5 or 6 different power line sources coming into your home to say, you know what, I'm not going to buy from you today, I'm going to buy from you. That's where competition would actually come in. And those who can become better and more efficient would be rewarded because you'd be consuming their electricity. Those who are paying, you know, these fat cat corporate bonuses like Avista and some of these other companies, they're not being incentivized by being more, you know, conscientious of how they're, you know, selling you a product. They got you by the throat. There you go. Part of your anatomy, but they still got you by the throat and they're holding on and you are having a hard time sucking air. And with Avista going to Hydro One, maybe you might be able to survive the lack of oxygen, but there are going to be a lot of people that, because they're going to be heat or energy deprived because of the cost, they're going to be impacted. So sometimes it's really not necessarily about, well, do I care? We need to start caring. It is a pretty immoral society when we know that those seniors and those who are struggling, the kids that are getting out of high school that are just trying to, you know, in, get involved in a work enterprise, starting a business or what have you, and having something literally straddling them that is so onerous and such a burden in paying an electrical bill. Are you kidding me? It is time, America, that we start changing our paradigms. It is time that we change our paradigms regarding the party and allowing anybody to just come in and do whatever they want to do and basically follow the beck and call of the progressives, the Agenda 21 agenda, the Agenda 2030, whatever that agenda is called today, that Bush brought into America, this UN globalization concept. We have to start challenging our paradigms, because what we have is we have an open, literally acceptance of almost anything and everything they want to throw at us because we have no standards. As my show, or as my one advertisement, it's time we start putting standards to our loyalty. Let me ask you this. Dr. Tracy has been backing this show for a long time. How many of you that have been listening to this show has even called Dr. Tracy to actually go and check out his quality of service? I am telling you, and if you meet anybody or you meet me and you get a chance, say, let me see those two front teeth. I challenge you to tell me which tooth is real and which one isn't. He did that good of a job. I'm so impressed. I've never had that quality of work done on my two front teeth. And so, how many of you have gone to him and said, you know what, we need to start supporting those who are actually providing this service, this voice out here? I do not want to have a listener-endorsed show. I don't want to be actually putting my hand out and saying, hey, I need some money, I've got to go away. That's not what I want to do. That's why if there are businesses that want to start funding a good, or, you know, if you want to call it good or marginally good, or, you know, marginally bad, whatever, however you think I do. I came right into this business saying I'm not a professional. I'm not looking to be a professional. I don't care how raw I am. The fact is, I'm going to tell you the truth, and I'm going to get the truth to you. And I've done everything I can to provide and shine the light. And maybe there's just not enough people in Spokane listening. But if Spokane is looking for a relevant format and a relevant show, you'll start finding them right here on KSBN. By the end of this month, I'm hoping to be able to announce to you a couple of new shows of people that literally want to let you know what's going on besides me. There is a place that actually has and desires to be relevant, and KSBN is that broadcaster in this local area that wants to do that. I will also tell you that the names, you will not be surprised, but I am hoping that you start letting people know. Get people to start listening, and please support these sponsors. If you've got time, and now's a good time to go into the holiday season before you eat a bunch of, after eating all the candy and eating all the other junk, make a call. Call Dr. Von Tracy. Go to VonTracyDDS.com. As my ads go, listen for them. Call up Von Tracy and make an appointment and get blown away at the services. And just keep in mind that you are actually in the chair of a patriot who actually spent money to help you hear about the information that I've been telling you over the past year and a half. My friends, I just realized I blew through a couple of breaks. This is it. I am G.R. Mobley. I'm reclaiming the Republic, and I would love to reclaim Spokane County. I'll be back next week. God bless, and let's hope the outcome is what we deserve, Spokane, from this election. God bless.